Okay, Rabbi, so this week is Parashas Nasa. We all know that Nasa, the Parasha after Shavuos, is the longest Parasha. There are 176 psukim in Parashas Nasa, and this corresponds to 176 psukim in Mizmor Kuf Yutes in Tehillim, and it also corresponds to 176 dafim in Masechta Bava Basra. Right, the three different. The Sharblat, because it ends on Daf Kuf Ayin Vav with the it's also a Daf. It's also what to learn from the Shar. Zeh Hashar La Hashem Tzadikim Yivovo. Takes a lot of guts to learn Masechta Bava Basra to go through the Shar. But these are the three different things which have Kuf Ayin Vav, and basically the idea is that after Shavuos you get an injection of some hormones or some steroids. And that's why there is a ribui, an extra special infusion, a ribui, a swelling of Torah that comes after Kabbalah's Hatar. Because Parshas Nasa is usually, almost always, the parsha that follows the Yomtif of Shavuos. So after Shavuos, you have a ribui, an extra ribui of Torah. Now, many of the parsha, they focus on the words Gamheim. Parsha begins, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Naso. I want you to count. Naso means to lift up. In this context, it really means to count. Es Rosh, the heads of Bnei Gershoin Gamheim, they as well. Levei Savaisam LeMishpachosam, based upon their fathers, their families. And then we go on, we calculate the families of the Bnei Gershoin. Now we have to remember there are three different families among the Levim. There is the family of Kehos. That was the Parshas Bamidbar. The last Ali in Parshas Bamidbar enumerates the family of Kehos. And now we have in Parshas Nasa, the remaining two families, we have Gershoin and the family of Merari. Now there's a general question, why does Parshas Nasa begin with Gershoin? If you were given the task to divide the Torah into different portions, certainly you would not put a hefsek between Kehos and Gershon. You would either include everything as part of Parshas Bamidbar. Parshas Bamidbar would go all the way through the first Aliyah, right? You would go all the way further. You would go until the second, until Shlishi. You would calculate Kehos, Gershoin and Merari. Or you would begin Parshas Nosoi with the seventh Aliyah of Parshas Bamidbar. So it's very strange, it's very, very strange why Parshas Bamidbar ends in the middle of these three families. We have Sheva Levi. Sheva Levi is broken into three different groups: the family of Kehos, the family of Gershoin, the family of Merari. We break down the Levi into three different families, and we calculate and we describe their numbers. Moshe Rabbeinu was counting their number. Their number is independent of the number of this, of the number of Klal Yisrael, the 600,550. It's independent. They're not part of that number. So why are we breaking up the parashios by Midbar and including one family, Kehos, and the remaining two families? We are waiting for Parshas Nosoi. And to top it all off, why when we come to Gershoin do we go and we treat them second rate? Gamheim, in addition to counting the family of Kehos, let's also count the family of Gershoin. Gamheim, they're also people. That's not nice. I mean, they're also people. They're people. Everyone is the same. So all the Mepharshim they ask this question. So the simplest answer you should know is that some person would want to say is that there's a mistake. That this that we can include Parshas, we mentioned this last week, that this that we begin Parshas Bamidbar, Parshas Nosoi with where we start this week in Gershoin is a mistake. Really, the tradition was to begin Parshas Nosoi with Shvi from the end of Bamidbar, like it's logical. This some actually want to say it's a mistake. It just somehow it crept into the Chumashim, this mistake, because it gets very confusing when you learn your Malkuya and you want to go point out where the Ali begins. You've got to be very careful to make sure you point to the right Nasai, not to the wrong Nasai, because it's very confusing. So some say Nachmanides was a mistake. This just somehow crept in into the Chumash. And once a mistake gets perpetuated in all the Chumashim, there's no way. What? That kills the, yes, all right, kills the 170s, exactly. I don't know. So some, that's one answer. Is that a correct answer? Unlikely. So what then is the answer? So the other answer, not mine, I'm telling you that really is a conglomeration of work or a common denominator of a lot of the, many of the Mefarshim. They say this is the basic idea that emerges. Each family had a unique role. The role of Kehas was to carry the Oroin. Yeah. And that's exactly what is clearly described in the end of Parshas Bamidbar. You take apart the Mishkan. And when you take apart the Mishkan, you take the Oroin, you have to cover it with a special garment. The Tcheles, the Talashani, the Chulu, you have to cover it in a special way. And then after everything has been taken apart and everything has been covered, now B'nai Kehas, they are given the honor of carrying the Aron. Only members of Kohos have the privilege of carrying the Aron in the Midbar when they traveled in the 42 Masos. Then we come to Gershon. They don't carry the Aron. They carry the Urias. They carry the Urias, the three different layers. The Urias of material, then of the Izim, and then of the third layer, the Michse of the Urias Elim Adamim, and the hides of the Tachash. There are three layers that cover the Mishkan. And they carry the curtains. The curtains, those are the Mesech, the curtain that's in front of the Mishkan, and all of the curtains that surround the Chotzer HaMishkan. So Gershon is not carrying the Oroin. They're not carrying the Kalim. Their mission is to carry the material that shelters the Mishkan. The three layers of material that cover the Mishkan, the 10 Urias, which was the lowest level, and then the 11 Urias, which were made from the Izim, the skins of the goats, and the third level of the Elim Me'odamim, and the hides of the Tachash, and the curtains that enclose the Chotzer HaMishkan. And then we go on to Merari, who carries the Kalim of the Mishkan, the Mizbeach, the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Kiar, and the chulu, all the various kalim, they are the ones who carry those things. So the first thing is as follows. Being that the parasha of Bamidbar is the parasha that we read right before Matan Torah, right before Shavuos, it is proper that we should read about Kohos, being that Kohos is the one who is in direct contact with the Aroi. Isn't that appropriate? We're reading, we're getting ready for the Matan Torah, we're coming to Shavuos. We have over here, really, we would start Parshas Nasa with all three families of Kehas, Gershon and Merari. We would leave it for Parshas Nasa, but we want a chaperan, we want to grab, and we want to grab into Parshas Bamidbar, we want to swallow up into Parshas Bamidbar the role, the function of Kehas. Because Kehas is the one who is in physical contact with the Torah. They're the ones who carry on their shoulders the Torah. And this is the theme of Matan Torah. Hashem gave us the Torah. Now that the Torah should be put in a museum and be put away and locked up for someone else, the role of the Torah is for every person to imitate the ways of Kehas and to take the Torah and to put the Torah on your shoulder and bear the burden of the Torah, whether it means to learn the Torah or to carry the responsibility for the Torah in any shape or form. So the truth is, you're right. This really should be part of Shvi'i, should be part of Parashas Nasai. It was only swallowed up early as a hachana for Matan Torah. But now comes the danger. The danger is, now that the Torah Matan Torah has passed, we've passed through Matan Torah, and now we go back to our ordinary lives, and most of us are not always involved every single moment in learning Torah, and even people who are learning Torah, you have to also hanig b'hem minig derecheretz. You got to take care of yourself. You have to make a parnasa. You have to go and do your needs. So one would be misled to believe after you go through this awesome experience of Matan Torah that when it comes to the mundane matters, the curtains, the covering of the Mishkan, which is not as significant as holding the Aron, it's not important. Shavuos is over. Kabbalah Satara is over. Now we can go to sleep for the rest of the year until the next Shavuos, until we once again come to the time when we makabel the Torah. That's why the pasuk begins. We have the chizuk. As soon as Shavuos is over, Naso Esrosh Bnei Gershon Gamheim. Don't make any mistake. The Gamheim is an emphasis. They are just as important in their role of the Torah as Kohos. Kohos, we chapped around last week because they are the ones that are holding the Torah itself. But don't think that the time of the day or people who are not involved, the Rosh Hashanah in the study of Torah, they're second rate. Chas v'shalom. Every single moment of the day, whatever you're involved in, is all part of the process. It's all a necessary component to be connected to the chashivus and the beauty of Torah. So now that Shavuos is over, we got past the madrega of Kehos, and now we're coming to the lower, what we would assume to be the lower level of Gershoin, which is involved in more of the chitzonios, more of the external, the materialism of what Torah is the materialism of Torah. Make no mistake, Shavuos is over, but you shall uplift Esrosh Bnei Gershoin Gamheim. They're just as important. Okay, that's one. Let's go to another idea.
Why was Kohos picked to be on top?
Well, someone had to be picked. For whatever reason, Kohos was selected. What was his zechus? Hashem did decide, of course. Everything was Alpi Ruach HaKodesh. Everything was decided, certainly Alpi Ruach HaKodesh, and there's no question that HaKodesh Baruch Hu selected that family, Kohos, to be the ones who, even though they were not the oldest, Kohos was younger. Gershon was older than Kohos. Yet Hashem selected the family of Kohos to be the ones to carry Kohos, Gershon, Kohos, and Merari. Yet they were younger, and they were the ones that were selected, and they come before Shavuos, and Gershon comes after Shavuos. And make no mistake, everyone is equal in Hashem's eyes, and that's why we emphasize Gershon with the unique expression Gam.
One more question. What would have happened if somebody from Gershon would have...
No, not allowed. Not allowed. I don't know what the punishment is, but he has done a very big avera. Everyone, the same way a czar is not allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you're not allowed to go do the Avoida. If you're not from the family of Kohos, you have no right to touch the Aron. The Aron was only, it was the exclusive domain of the family of Kohos. Okay, let's go to the...
Doesn't that separate the Kedusha?
What?
By having, you know, Parshas Bamidbar.
Yeah.
Has the Kedusha, and then the secondary part in Nasa. Because there's no question, carrying the Aron is carrying Kedusha. Like you say, if you're not from Kohos...
You're not allowed to touch it. Right. You're not allowed to touch it.
That's why it says, Al Tachrisu, Shevet Mishpachos HaKosi.
Right. Be careful.
Because they had a responsibility, and even they themselves, if they would abuse their privileges, they could also die.
They said, many did die. Many did die. There are many people who are not fitting, they did die. But that comes before Shavuos, because that's the Torah. Now it's after Shavuos. You can make a mistake and you think now it's the summer. It's all downhill. You do whatever you want. Chas v'shalom. Everything is in part of the component of Torah. Gam Heim. We connect what it says in Parshas Nosai to what it says in Parshas Bamidbar. There is no difference. Don't let your guard down just because Matan Torah is over and we're now more involved in the mundane activities of life. Don't make that mistake. It's not so. Gamheim, it's all the same. What? No, they carry...
The Shulchan they carry... Carry.
What did Merari carry? Merari.
We're not talking about Kohos. Kohos, was it only death imposed by accident touched the Aron?
No, I don't know. I don't know exactly. I don't know the rules. I don't know. I don't know if it says anywhere.
Arbanel makes a point of saying they split up the room way this way. Since Gershon was the Bechor, they didn't want to dismiss it and make him feel too bad, so Kahas came first because it came from Moshe and Aaron were from Kahas. So they had to give kavod to Moshe and Aaron that they came, so Kahas goes first, he had that schus. But to give a little liten kavod to Gershon, they started him with a second parsha to give him his own, like Gershon. The parsha begins with Gershon to show that he is important.
He's the oldest. He's the oldest.
Not to make him feel bad. And it says Gam Haim also, in other words, for the same reason, Gam Haim, because he is the oldest, so you have to give him a little deference. That's why at least you might think you're not going
to... We broke up this way to give him cover.
Maybe you should go with Bnei Merari, and so he makes a point on the deal. But the law shown is only by Gershon does it say Levei Sabo Sum, Lemishpacho Sum. The others it says Lemishpacho Sum, Levei Sabo Sum. Because Gershon makes a difference who his father was the Bechor. So his Levei Sabo Sum, the others were only because they were from Beis Levi, not their order of the family. So Lemishpacho Sum came first.
Okay, very good. Now let's go to the end. Now after the Torah enumerates all the three different families, it then summarizes the three different families and puts them together and gives us a total sum of their number, all three families together, and it describes their role, and when it describes their role, it adds a role that was not yet recorded thus far in these three sections. Let me read you the words of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Kol ha-pekudim Asher pokad Moshe v'Yaron l'nesiyah Yisrael es halil mishpacho yisam, miben shleish mshona v'malla v'ar ben chamish mshona, kol haba. Again, this is a summary of all three families. And mainly, each one had a role in carrying a specific part of the Mishkan. But here it says, kol haba la'avod, or any man who comes to serve, avoidas avoida, the service of service. Va'avoidas masa, and the service of carrying, be'ohel moed. We have here a new idea called avodas avoda. The second idea of avodas masa is what was expressed very clearly in each of the three sections. When it describes in the parasha, nosoes rosh b'nei gershoim, it says there, zos avodas mishpachos ha-gershmi la'avonodos. It says two words, la'avodu l'masa. And then it goes on, the Nasu goes on to describe the Nasu, the character they will carry. You go back in the previous parashas, Bamidbar also, we mentioned over there, this is what they carry. So what does it mean, the avodas avoda? So Rashi says it means to shir, it means song. It means to participate in singing and playing musical instruments to accompany the avoda. So I want to make us horror. I don't have any deep idea is that, you know, you have the word avoda. The word avod is always an adjective. We're describing avod of what? Or the avoda of carrying. The avoda of doing this specific. But the way the Torah uses the word in its purest sense, avodas avoda, the service of service is for what? To sing. It's to sing shira. To give shevach v'hoidah to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's a very fascinating idea. We learn in the beginning of the Torah says, Le'ovda u'le'shamra. Hashem put Adam in Gan Eden before the Chet Eitz Hadas. And what was his purpose? His purpose was Le'ovda u'le'shamra. So on a very superficial level, it means Hashem put him to be a farmer. You're in the Gan, you're in the garden, and what should you do? You should go around and taking care of the fruits and vegetables in the garden and making sure they're well watered, removing the weeds. Okay, that's a very, very, very simplistic translation of the words. But you learn over here that the word avod in the purest sense doesn't mean to work. The fact the Pasuk repeats it twice, avodas avoda, the work of work, the service of avoda, and then it goes on to say, carrying, the avodas masa breaks the two up. And Rashi says, avodas avoda means shir, hu hashir, b'mitz losayim, v'kinoiro, shi avoda l'avodas acheres. This is the avoda to avoda acheres of the karbonos. It's an avoda. But the basic idea, the Gemara in Arachin says that it's an avoda which accompanies the avoda of karbonos. But al derech drush, the fact that it's avodas avoda is used in reference to singing shir, that opens up a new interpretation of avod, the way we are put in this world, l'avda u'l'shamra. And the ikar avoda is to give shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to sing songs of praise and thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to recognize everything comes from Him and everything is in His hands. Okay, let's go to another idea. In this week's parasha, we learn about the concept of vidui, confession. We have here in Perek Hey the laws of Gezel. If a person steals from his friend and is confronted by Beis Din, and they say to him, "You are a suspect. We have evidence that you indeed may be guilty of theft, and we want you to swear that you have not stolen what this person claims you have stolen." And he goes ahead and he says, "Yes, I swear that I did not steal anything from this individual." And then he goes on later and he confesses, "I have to confess that I swore falsely." So the Torah says you have to do two things. Number one, you have to bring a carbon asham. Number two, you have to pay an additional fifth in addition to whatever you have stolen. If you stole $100, you have to pay an additional $25. A 25, which is a fourth from the inside, a fifth from the outside. An additional penalty. Rashi asks the question, and then the pasuk goes on to say, what happens if the person to whom you have stolen the money from is no longer alive, so you give it to his relatives. Let's say the person does not have any relatives because he is a Ger Tzedek. A Ger Tzedek doesn't have any relatives, so who gets the money? The money goes to the Beis Hamikdash, it goes to the Kohanim. The Kohanim who are on duty in that particular day, they get the money. Rashi asks the question, what here is the Pasuk telling us, this halacha, that a person swears falsely, he has obligated to bring a Karban Asham? We have already learned this in the beginning of Chumash Vayikra. We already learned this halacha. So Rashi says, you're right, this halacha by itself is not necessary. It's only being taught here to be mechadesh two separate concepts. The concept of confession, which requires a payment of an additional fifth, and the concept of stealing from a ger tzedek. If you would only learn Parshas Vayikra, you would only know the halacha that a person brings a karban asham when he is caught by witnesses. If a person swears falsely that he did not steal any money, and two witnesses present themselves and testify, "You are a liar, we were present when you stole the money," so then you have to pay up what you've stolen. "I stole $100, so here's $100. Plus, you have to do a karban asham." That's all we would learn from Parshas Vayikra. We need to learn this parsha here in Parshas Naso to repeat the halacha in order to teach us the concept that if a person comes forward himself and confesses, "I confess, no one came and caught me. I committed the crime, it was the perfect crime. There was no one watching when I did the Avera, but I confess." So you have to still bring a carbon asham, and you have to pay an additional fifth. And also, by the way, even if there's no one coming, there's no harm done, because there's no one to pay the money to. The person died, he left, did not leave over any relative. All of his relatives, because he's a Ger Tzedek, so there are no relatives. You still have to give the money to the Beis HaMikdash, to a Kohen. That is what is being taught over here. Now the question is why? Why is this halacha? Why do we all of a sudden now discover the concept of vidui, of confession, and giving the money to a Ger Tzedek, when a person steals from a Ger Tzedek, giving money to the Beis HaMikdash, here specifically in Parshas Naso? So I want to explain is, there's a very similar reason why it's being taught over here. And that is because here, Parashas Naso begins with the theme of the Masos. Okay, the Masos don't actually take place until Matos Masse. But Parashas Naso already sets in motion the theme of Masos, which means we have a beautiful Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu, he built a Mishkan. He was, Rashi here says he was Moser Nefesh. The Mishkan is called after the name of Moshe because Moshe was the one who was Moser Nefesh to understand the Tavnis, its Tzura. And the Mikdash, the Mishkan is erected. In fact, Chazal say, we'll see, and we'll discuss soon, it was put up seven times. Moshe every day put it up and took it apart. And now Moshe is giving a role to the three families of the Levim, who is going to carry what, how it's going to be dismantled, how it's going to be erected, who's going to do what, and who's going to the entire process. What does that represent? Taking the Mishkan apart represents the concept of Churban. It represents a realization. We have a mikdash. But you have to understand, the mikdash will only be erected in its full glory, bizman, at a time when the Jewish people are deserving to have a Beis HaMikdash. If you're not going to deserve to have the Beis HaMikdash because there is sin, there is chait, then the mikdash will be dismantled. And when the mikdash is dismantled, it's going to travel from place to place with the Jewish people in Galus until they are once again worthy of erecting, putting the mikdash back together. That's what's happening here in this sixth parasha. We're learning over here, we have the three families, Kohath, Merari, and Gershon. They're given a role in dismantling the Beis HaMikdash. That is a revelation that there's going to be a time when there's not going to be a Mishkan. Why will there not be a Mishkan? Because there's a problem. What's the problem? Now, if you look very carefully, that's the sequence of all the psukim. First section, I skipped over that section, is Tzaves b'nei Yisrael v'yishalchu min ha-machaneh. We learn the halacha. There are three groups of people who have to be dismissed from Klal Yisrael. The Tzorua, the Zav, and the Tomei. The Tzorua, Chutz L'gimel Machanos. The Zav, Chutz M'shtei Machanos. And the Tomei Nefesh, Chutz one Machaneh. These are people who are problematic. These are people who the fact that these are people who have a degree of contamination, they are the source of why there is no Mishkan. We're describing here this the Mishkan is going to be dismantled. Let's now understand why the Mishkan is going to be dismantled. Because we have amongst us, unfortunately at times, people who are not with the program. The worst of the three is the Metzora. The Metzora, Chazal give numerous reasons why the Tzaras came upon him. Namely, most commonly is because of Lashon Hara. Okay, the Zav represents a person who's nichshol and causing tumah, yotzei min haguf. Tumah is coming out of his body, which that's a concept which represents a person is not behaving the way he should be behaving. He is contaminating his neshama. That has an effect not just on the person, on the environment, upon the entire klal, so upon the Mishkan. The Mishkan is going to be dismantled because of that. Then we have a tomei nefesh, that's not as bad, but it means he is in contact, he is doing things, he is in an environment where he should not be in. He also has to be dismissed temporarily from the innermost holiness part of the Mishkan. Then we come to the next concept. Now we come to another theme. Another theme is Gezel. There's another reason why the Mishkan is going to be dismantled. That's because people are not honest. And they steal other people's money. And not only that, they top it off by swearing. They swear in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even the Aseres HaDibros, Leisisa Shem HaShem Lekecha Lashov, to swear falsely. So here, part of this parasha, when we're dealing with the Chorban, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just tell us about the Chorban. HaKadosh Baruch Hu here is offering us solutions. And part of the solution is we are introduced to the theme of Vidui. The Rambam learns this is the Makor of Vidui. In this parasha, is Vizvadu Eschatos Masher Asu. The Yeshivas Hashem, just like in the previous parasha, when the Torah tells about the three different people who are the source of contamination, what is the solution? Vishalchu min hamachaneh. Have them dismissed. Likewise here, when we review the parasha of Gezel, the solution is, the Torah is giving solutions. And the solution is, confess your sin. And when you confess your sin, you have an additional degree of opportunity of adding a chomesh, a fifth. And in addition, the Torah tells us the sin of stealing is not just a sin bein odom lachaveroi, it's a sin bein odom lamokoim. What's the proof? The proof is gezel hager. A ger, there's no one coming to be toved, to demand payment for what is stolen. And yet the Torah says, even then, you have to confess, and even then, you have to pay the money in order to recognize that there's something wrong with you. See, the focus here of this section is not just a focus, it's not a focus on personal sin. Personal sin has been discussed in detail in Parshas Vayikra. The focus here in Parshas Noso is a focus of sin which leads to the decomposition, the decay of society, the moral climate of society. And the response is an entirely different response. So these halachas are reviewed in an entirely different perspective. The goal here is not just to tell you about there are three people who are tamei. We know they're tamei. We know about Parshas Tazria Mitzorah. We know about the Zav. In Parshas Mitzorah, we learn all about the Zav. We know about tamei nefesh. The focus here is Yishalchu min hamachane. The community is at risk when we have these people here. You have a person who is a gazlon, and you have a person who is a gazlon. He's a risk to society, and therefore this person has to confess v'hisvadu. And here the first they point out what is the proof. The proof over here is it says v'hisvadu b'loshen rabim. This is a very good question. All the commentators ask, why does it say v'hisvadu es chatosam asher osu v'heshiv es ashamo? Then it reverts back to loshen yachid. He shall return his guilt offering v'chamishi so yosef olav. The guilty party, he brings the carbon asham and he pays the additional fifth. But when it comes to the confession, it says it shall be done by the community. What do you mean the community? The hisvadu, who's the community? There's only one person who stole. If one person stole, it's because there's something wrong with society. There's a problem in the community that allowed for the tolerance of the community, which allowed for a person to be guilty. Therefore, everyone has to confess. And that's why it's v'hisvadu, not just the victim, not just the perpetrator, but everyone in the entire society who tolerated that there can be such a thing as unethical behavior is also guilty. Once there's a communal vidui, and there's a recognition, and even when there is no one that's actually suffering, but it's a defect in the person's neshama to take something from someone else, that will be a tikkun for the mishkan not being necessary to be dismantled. It's interesting that on Yom Kippur, what is the last thing we are mispalel for at Ne'ilah? The last paragraph. L'manechdal me'oshek yodeinu. The last thing we are mispalel for in Yom Kippur, on Ne'ilah, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shall save us from the Aveira of Gezel. Why? Why Gezel? It's because the source for vidui, of confession, is found here in this section of Gezel. So the whole theme of Yom Kippur is to say vidui, to confess your sins. Confession is all Is related to gezel, and even a gezel where you're not causing another person harm. The ger, no one's coming to make a claim. Even that requires. So just to review the Rashi Prakim. The idea, one point over here is as follows. Just review the basic idea. We have over here the Masois. We have the Nesiim. We have here the family of the Levim. Each one is given a role in what they will carry. That tells us that the Mishkan will not always remain standing. Why will the Mishkan not remain standing? It's because we will not always be deserving of the Mishkan to be with us in its full glory. Why? Because there are problems. Every mitzvah we then begin to discuss in the parasha are the key mitzvahs which are sins which affect the community at large, which cause the Mishkan to be dismantled. The first is individuals who are Balei Avera, Mitzora, Zav, and Tomei Lo Nefesh, meaning it's a concept, they bring themselves into contact with contamination that they should not. Then we come to the next thing, Gezel, theft. Even theft where there's no one that can make a claim. If you steal a chatsi pruta, a person became a millionaire. He took off the fraction of a set of the pennies of interest from all the clients in the bank. He was able to accumulate an enormous amount of money. No one knows what's going on. That's gezel. Why is that gezel? Because there's a tolerance of such a thing in the community. V'svadu es avoinam. That also leads to the Korban Beis Hamikdash. Then we go to the next parasha. And what's the next parasha? Sota. Immorality. These things don't just affect the individual. The fact that there can be such a thing in the community where it's tolerated, where a woman can have a relationship with another man that's not proper, that affects the entire moral climate of society, which causes the Mishkan to be dismantled. So these are the different, these are the connection, the theme of, and then the solution is to be mechazek, for example, the Nazir. The Nazir is an example of an individual who fights against these ideas and brings about a repair. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. Another short idea we have here, Parashat Nasa begins with the word Nasa with the Nun. Nun, Sin, Aleph. Take note that in Parashat Bamidbar, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts Klal Yisrael, Hashem counts Klal Yisrael with the word Su'u Esroish B'nei Yisrael. Beginning of Bamidbar, right in the very beginning, Vaidaber Hashem El Moshe Leim B'Mar Sinai Bel Moed, Se'u es rosh kol adas b'nei Yisrael. Question, why when Hashem counts the Yisraelim does Hashem use the word se'u? Whereas when Hashem tells Moshe to count the family of the Levim, Kehos, Gershon, and Merari, we use the word niso, which is the same exact word, sin, aleph, se'u, but with the added prefix, or the added letter of the nun, Nasa. Why is the Nun added for the Sheva Levi, whereas the Nun does not appear for Sheva for the Yisrael? So I saw the following idea. This idea is very good. It follows after Shavuos. Shavuos, we know, is the 50th day. Nun, letter Nun, represents seven times seven. You go all the way to the top. It's a very lofty idea, the number Nun. But the Nun also represents the concept of falling. What do we mean? We always say this three times a day. We all know that in Ashrei, all the letters of the Aleph Beis appear in Ashrei. Have a pasuk devoted to each letter of the Aleph Beis, with the exception of letter Nun. There is no pasuk in Ashrei which begins with the letter Nun. The Nun is absent. Why? Because Nun represents the theme of falling, Neufel. And therefore, we do not want to give emphasis to those who stumble, those who fall. However, when we come to the next letter, Samach, we mention the absence of the Nun. Soimech Hashem l'chol ha'noiflin. Hashem supports all those who have fallen. So the one in Nun represents the most mystical heights a person can reach. Because after seven times seven, when you want to count, well, the Shlemus of the Bria is seven. Hashem created the world in 7 days. And if you want to emphasize the intensity of seven, you can count seven times seven. So that reaches a climax. And what comes after seven times seven? 50. Nun. What is Shavuos? Shavuos is Nun. There's no greater day. There's no day that's more significant than Shavuos. It's Vayhi Bayom Hashishi. The whole world was waiting for that day, Yom Hashishi, which was the 50th day after Yitzias Mitzrayim, to Mekabel the Torah. So yet we have a theme that Nun represents Nefila, Ashrei. And yet Nun represents the most lofty concept of rising up. The answer is it's totally zebizeh. You can't have a madrega of reaching a pinnacle of accomplishment, of achievement, unless you fall a couple of times. Im loy nafalti, loy kamti. If I did not fall, there's no way I could have reached the pinnacle of Nun. The two go together, two sides of the same coin. Nun, the Nun of Nefila, versus the Nun of the Shleimus, the Tanimus of 7 times 7. How does this parasha begin? This parasha begins with the dismantling of the Mishkan. Anyone who reads about the dismantling of the Mishkan should shiver. How could you dismantle the Mishkan? You build this most beautiful thing, a Mishkan, and here we have such detailed description of exactly how to take it apart. It wouldn't be so far-fetched to say everything here should be not mentioned in the Torah. It should be a medrash. We learn in the parish of Truma, Tetzal, Vechel, Bekudi, they built this magnificent Mishkan, and the Mishkan traveled with them for 40 years. Well, how do they move the Mishkan, a building, 40 years in the desert? How do they move it? Oh, so it says in the medrash, they took it apart. Doesn't mean they have a platform like, you know, today they have technology where they can just take it on a big trailer and they can travel the whole Mishkan from place to place. So you have a medrash that will tell us, you know, they took it apart and they carried it. The Torah has to go and tell us that they took the Mishkan apart into little teeny pieces down to the little clamps and the little cords. And the mace, the pegs, even the pegs are mentioned. Little pegs, is it really necessary to traumatize us by telling us that this makom, which is the Hashuas HaShechina, was dismantled? The answer is yes. im loy nafalti loy kanti. Built into describing the edifice, this magnificent makom where the Shekhinah is resting, the Torah is teaching us, that's right, it was taken apart, and I'll tell you exactly how they took it apart, and who took it apart, and exactly how they moved it from place to place. And that's why when it comes to the who's the one that had that role, the one that had that role were the Shevet Levi, the three families, Kehas, Gershon, and Merari. And therefore when you talk about them, they are the ones who give them this role, it was their mission, when you count them, counting represents defining their purpose, their mission, their essence, their accomplishments. They're not just people that you're going to lift up. Su'u esrosh b'nei Gershon. Su'u esrosh b'nei Kehas. Su'u esrosh b'nei Merari. It's naso. He append to the purpose, their mission, the letter nun. They're the ones who are in the middle of the nefila. And because they are the ones who understand how Nefila, Nimel, they are the ones who are elevated to achieve a much greater role in Klal Yisrael as serving as the Levium of Al-Kein Lo. There's no Nachala for the Levi. Hashem hu Nachalasan. You know why Hashem hu Nachalasan? Because they're the ones who watch the Mishkan be taken apart into little pieces. Im loy nafalti loy kamti. And the Musar Haskel is, when a person stumbles in life, ein adam tzaddik v'lo yaseh toy v'lo yaseh in tzaddik bar shayaseh toy v'lo yaseh, what is it? V'lo yechta. It's not the end of the world. Every nefila is an opportunity. It's an opportunity. It's no different. It's no different than being part of the Levium. When there's a failure, don't look at it as if, look at it as a naso, an opportunity to take the nun which is a nefila, take that nun, put that in before the sama, the sin and the aleph, and use it as an opportunity to be uplifted. Im loy nafalti, loy kamti. Okay, let's go to another quick idea.
Sof Nevi'im Avoda was
What?
Up there, 50 was important for Nevi'im.
Yeah, 50th level. Right, the number is a very significant level. Yeah. So Nun is both. Nun is Nefila and it represents a very high madrig. Okay, let's go to another idea. Similar idea. Moshe Rabbeinu, let's just review this idea in different approach. Moshe Rabbeinu took apart the Mishkan. The Chanukas HaMishkan was accomplished through Moshe Rabbeinu putting up the Mishkan and then taking it apart 7 days. This almost sounds ridiculous. Can you imagine? You go to a Chanukas Abayis, you go to a shul, they dedicate a shul. Our Abayis, here we are, we're dedicating the shul today, so before we dedicate the shul, everyone should come back 7 days in a row. We're going to take off all the doors, all the windows, anything that we're going to take off, all the light, the fixtures, all the furniture. We're going to dismantle the shul the best that we can for 7 days in a row. Think about it. Brand new shul. Costs $5 million. It takes the community 10 years to build. And we're going to now create a dedication in honor of the shul. So what do? We come to the shul. There's a big celebration. They bring in the Sefer Torah. You celebrate. You dance. You have a meal. You have a lot of speeches. And you have a fundraising campaign. You ask everyone to give money. Right? That's the way we're... What we should really do is follow what Moshe Rabbeinu did. What did Moshe Rabbeinu did? We're all ready to inaugurate the new Mishkan. Let's take everything apart. We'll take out all the light bulbs, take out the drop ceiling, take out all the furniture, pile it up outside, take off all the doors. Anything that we can take apart, we'll take apart. And we'll put it all back together. And we'll do this 7 days in a row. It's crazy! What's going on? Yet exactly what Rashi says. Vayihi kichalois Moshe l'hakim es ha-mishkan. What's kichalois? Rashi says, he fit the word chal. It doesn't say kilois kalois. Rashi explains there was the end of putting it back together. Moshe did this for 7 days in a row, and now he is finished. Let me see if I can actually find the pasuk very quickly. I'm not making this up. Vayihi kichalois Moshe. Vahi biyam kalois Moshe lachim es hamishkan. Kiperik is perik zayin pasik aleph. Rashi. Rashi says, v'loy nemar biyam hakim melamed shakol shivas yemei hamiluim hayemoshe ma'amidoi umif rak. I don't know. Umifarkoi. He would erect it and take it apart. That day he put it back together, he didn't take it apart. That was the day when he finished putting it up for the very last time. Another question. Now this really, this
was it up all night or was it down all night?
Doesn't tell us all the details. I don't know exactly, but it was up and down 7 days in a row. Now to answer this question, I believe there's another Rashi that really says it all. Rashi, Pasuk goes on and says, what is the deeper meaning of this Pasuk? Rashi says, this Pasuk Yud, Vayakrivu, let me just find the Pasuk, here, Pasuk Yud Aleph, really it's Pasuk Yud Aleph, Yakrivu es Karbonam Lechanukas HaMizbeach, Vadayin lo hoyo yodea Moshe Heach, Yakrivu, when it came time for all of the Nisi'im to offer sacrifices to inaugurate the Mishkan, they were all identical. Moshe did not know the order, which Shevet comes first. In fact, we find something very strange. We find that Yisachar was the second. Yisachar, where does Yisachar come in to be the second Shevet? On the Yom Hasheni, Hekriv Nisanel ben Tsuar, Nisi Yisachar. Rashi says, what in the world is going on? That's why there's a missing Vav. There's a missing Vav by Yisachar, because there was a lot of opposition. Where does Yisachar come to offer the carbon? He's not the second born. In all the different calculations of how do you want to enumerate the Shvat, and Yisachar does not belong to be number two. So Rashi says in the beginning, Moshe did not know exactly how they should order. Im Kiseder told us, so maybe we should allow them to bring their korbanos according to the order of their birth. Im Kiseder Hamasos, the way they travel. In other words, go back to the previous parasha, we'll go in a clockwise fashion, and we'll go based upon the way they encamped around the Mishkan. The way they encamped, where they traveled, the way they encamped around the Mishkan, that's how they're going to offer their korbanos. And that's why we have the smichos of these psukim next to each other. The reason why we have in the previous pasuk we mentioned the masos, here we mentioned over here the nesiim, to teach us that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu the order of the Chanukah, the way they're going to inaugurate the sanctity of the Mishkan is going to be based upon the way they travel in the desert. Wait a minute. When they travel in the desert, there is no Mishkan. The Mishkan has been dismantled. If someone's going to ask you, how do you offer the korbanos, you don't want to go and focus on something which represents Churban. When the Mishkan is standing, that's when we're giving it sanctity. You're going to tell me they should offer their korbanos based upon the way they're going to be positioned when they're traveling in the desert, and the Mishkan has been dismantled into little teeny pieces. My high, what's going on? And again, what's going on with Yisachar? So you have three questions, and the answer is very obvious, but what are the three questions? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu take apart the Mishkan seven times? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu instruct Moshe that when they inaugurate the Mishkan and when they instill the very first sanctity, we all know HaKol HaLech Achar HaHaskalah, the beginning is Simani Nosed, represents the initial Kedusha, is very significant. Why was it done according to the order of the Masos? Number three, why is Yisachar the second Shevet to offer the Korbanos to sanctify the Mishkan? The answer is, it's exactly the purpose of the Mishkan. The Mishkan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu foresaw that the Mishkan is not going to be in its beauty, in its glory, all the time. That's not the nature of human beings. We're not always going to be worthy of having a Beis HaMikdash. It's already been 2,000 years of Golus. There's no Beis HaMikdash. The Bayis Rishon was destroyed. There was also a delay of 70 years. Then the Masos represent Ma'isav Asim L'Banim is that we're not always going to be worthy of having amongst us the Mishkan with the Shechina resting. But that's exactly what the purpose of the Mishkan is. The Mishkan is to give Kedusha, to give us the power to be able to carry the Kedusha that exists even at the times when we have fallen and we don't have with us the Mishkan. Moshe, the inauguration of the Mishkan was Moshe taking it apart to tell Klal Yisrael, Just like the Shechina is resting in this makom when everything has been assembled, the Shechina will be resting with you when the Mishkan has been dismantled. When the Nesim, they offered Korbanos to sanctify the makom. The primary sanctification was, you should know the sanctification, the Kedusha that's going to come down to this makom will be with you even when you're traveling in the desert and it's been dismantled. And why then is Yisachar the second one to offer the Korbanos? Because it's only going to be, you're only going to merit to have to maintain the Kedusha that is here in this makom in the Zuchus of the Torah. Yisachar's Yoidei Bina, they're the ones who excelled in the Kedusha, the study of Torah. In the Zuchus of connecting yourself to the Torah, you'll be able to take the Kedusha, the Shechina that's resting in this Mikdash, and take it with you at the times when it travels, it's dismantled, and it travels with you, waiting once again for it to be assembled, erected, for the Kedusha to come down once again. The Iker Kedusha is the potential, is that it's always there for you, it's always ready for you, even when it's not in its state of being built. That's how Moshe sanctified it, by taking it apart 7 times. The Iker is not putting it up. The Iker Avodah of Moshe was taking it apart. I'm taking it apart to give it Kedusha when it's not erected. The Nesim, when they're going to sanctify it, they're going to sanctify it based upon the Zman, when there is no Mishkan. And who's going to sanctify it first? Yisachar, because you need the ingredient of Torah to guarantee the continuity of the Kiddush of Klal Yisrael, Afilu B'zman She'ein Beis HaMikdash Kayim. It's there. It's all in the packaging. It's all ready to go. It's on the wagon. It's all perfectly ready to go. But this is where the Iker Kiddusha lies. Okay, let's go to another idea. I'm running out of time. Quickly idea. We're a little bit about the Egel HaSav. The Nesim, they offered 6 Eglei Tzav. Rashi says, why did the Nesim, why were they so quick to offer a donation of 6 wagons? Eglei wagons, Tzav means covered, not exposed. The wagons were not the ordinary wagons, it was just a flatbed truck. They didn't just give to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mishkan, flatbed trucks. They gave, I don't know what you were, 18 wheelers. It was covered. It was nicely covered. It was contained that when they put the supplies of the Mishkan on these wagons, it should be sheltered from the environment. There's a famous Chazal. Chazal said that Yaakov Avinu saw the Agolos, Vayar Esu Agolos, Vatich Yosef, that Yosef sent, Asher Sholach Yosef, Vatichi Ruach Yaakov Aviyem. What is the connection between the Agolos? And why was it that the Agolos caused Yaakov Avinu for his spirit to be revived? So Rashi says, the last sugya that Yaakov learned with Yosef before he departed was the sugya of Egla Arufa. So now when he remembered it, he's still holding and learning. He was a real briska, learning the same sugya for how many years? For 22 years. Can you imagine? Didn't change the daf. Didn't go to the next daf for 22 years. Yeah. Yaakov Avinu, Vatri Rachavim, Yaakov knew, oh, kvetches. He kvetches, he's a briska, so vatechi, ruach, Yaakov, Aviyam.
Maybe he had
3 machzorim of the same sugi, dafyomi. Oh, that's a good bar. Oh, that's a good dafyomi bar. That's a very good shmaka bar for a simon dafyomi, very good. So it was vatechi, ruach, Yaakov, Aviyam. It's gvalda, okay? It's a good bar for the third time, make a sima shas, you can say that bar, vatechi, ruach, Yaakov, Aviyam. So that's the pasuk. Now, the Balei HaTosfos, they say, no, when he saw the Agolos, it means he saw this pasuk. The Eglas Tzav, the wagons, the covered wagons. Yaakov Avinu taught Yosef, Kol HaTorah Kulo, he taught that the day is going to come that when the Nesim are going to, they're going to inaugurate the Mishkan, they're going to give a gift. Part of the inauguration of the Mishkan is to give a gift of wagons. And when Yaakov Avinu was reminded that the Nesim are going to give wagons, Vatechi Ruach Yaakov Avinu. What is the deeper meaning? What's my Inyan Zeitel this? I think this is very simple. Rashi says, why did the Nesim give wagons? Because the first time around, when it came to donations for the Melechus HaMishkan, building of the Mishkan, there was a call for donations. The Nesim, who were extremely wealthy, decided to issue a matching, what's it called today? A matching grant. Whatever you give, will match. Okay, is that a good thing to do? Yes and no. What happened? Everyone gave so much money. By the time it came, okay, to the Nesim, you have to go and match the funds. We don't need your money. We don't need your. We don't need your money. We have enough. We don't need anything from you. And they were very saddened. They had no chance to participate. So at the end, they gave the stones. They found there was one they can still give. They gave the stones for the Avnei Shoyam, Avnei Miluim. They gave these stones. The Kohen Gadol wears the Choshen and on the shoulders. This is what they gave. And because this attitude was wrong, when you call to give a donation, you give immediately. A letter is missing from the word Nisiyim. One of the parshios, when it says the gift that they have given, there's a letter missing from the word Nisiyim to indicate that they have sinned before Hashem by not being so gracious to give a donation immediately.
No, but they encouraged others to give.
Right. They encouraged, no, they're not necessarily, but it doesn't matter. That's a wrong attitude. It's not the right attitude. The attitude is, the way you encourage other people is you give. Okay? You give. That's the way you encourage people. You don't encourage people by saying, let them give and we'll be mashlim. That's not the way you encourage. You encourage by you give. You can also be mashlim. No harm done. Be mashlim at the very end. But you have to give right away to show that it's meaningful to you. So here they learned their lesson. And therefore the very first thing was they gave wagons. Interesting. When they gave originally, they gave something which was only seen by the Kohen Gadol. And the most private thing possible. The Avnei Shoyam, the Avnei Miluim. Here, when they did Teshuvah, they gave wagons. The wagons are what goes on the street. It goes in the public. It goes. This is what was carrying. It's also the wagons are not just what's Bishab, but this man when the Mikdash is functional. The Kohen Gadol only wears the Avnei, the Choshen, the Avnei Miluim at the very end. You got to put the whole Mishkan up. You go do the Avodah. Kohen Gadol does the Avodah just for 2-3 minutes. They gave something that was only used on rare occasions. Here they gave the wagons. The wagons is the most practical thing you can give for the Beis HaMikdash, and they gave it right away. They learned the lesson. They did teshuvah. They did teshuvah by giving immediately and giving something which was practical to the common man. The common man in Klal Yisrael benefited from the fact that they can transport the Mishkan from place to place when you go in Golis. And the Mishkan, you have to take the Kedusha of the Mishkan with you from place to place in Golis. Who are the ones that are responsible for guaranteeing the continuity of Klal Yisrael of the Mishkan and Golis? The Nesiim. They went mikotze la kotze. Not just from being the last, but it's also what they've given. I'm the last to give, and what I'm giving is something which is very specialized. It's for the Kohen Gadol. So let's say the Kohen Gadol doesn't have the Choshen. No, you can still bring a carbon on the Mizbeach. You don't need to have the Choshen and the Eifod. The world goes on without the Choshen and the Eifod. You have carbonas the same. Here they went to the extreme, they were the first, and they gave wagons which was practical for the continuity of the Mishkan from place to place. They did teshuvah. That's exactly what Yaakov Avinu said to you. Yosef said to Yaakov. Yosef said to Yaakov, Yaakov, don't worry, the brothers, they've learned their lesson. They sold me. Obviously there was sinas chinam. They hated me. There was a problem. They didn't appreciate what they were doing. But I'm sending you the eglas tzof. Just like the Nesiim, they made a fatal mistake, but they came around to recognize they made a mistake, and they corrected themselves in the most extreme way. Likewise, the Siman is, the brothers, they're coming back with the Eglas Tzof. My brother sent me away with a lack of appreciation of who I am, of who you are, of what they were doing, but now they're coming back to you with the Eglas Tzof. They have rectified their ways. They understand. They have a mela. That's what the Eglas Tzof represents, the full 180 degree return of tshuva. Let me leave you with one last var. This week's parasha is what?
Why?
Because there's achdus among the shvatim. That's a whole other drasha. Why six? One last drasha. This week is Birchas Koyhanim. Okay, beautiful, one of the most beautiful parashas. Birchas Koyhanim, right smack in the middle of Nazir Saita. We have Saita, and we have the Chanukah Samishkan. What's Birchas Koyhanim doing here in this week's parasha? So I wanted to say something very, very simple. There's a pasuk in Shir Hashirim. The pasuk in Shir Hashirim says, Hinei Hashem is maybe coming with the pasuk, the chaloinos and meitzitz v'nacharakim. What has the pasuk go? Oimed achar kosleinu. Hashem is standing achar kosleinu. Meitzitz v'nacharakim. Hi. Hinei. who oimed achar kosleinu mashkiach menachalainos made sits menacharakim. Hashem is oimed kosleinu made mashkiach menachalainos made menacharakim. This pasuk is used there to mamori chazal that chazal extract from this pasuk. Number one, hine ze oimed achar kosleinu shloi pascha shchina mikoisel hamaravi. This is the makar that even if there'll be a korban, the Shechina will always rest on the Kaisel HaMaravi. Hashem is standing behind the Kaisel, Achar Kaisel. And his Meitzitz from the Chaloinois, Meitzitz from the Charakim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashkiach, from the Chaloinois, he's looking down on the Kaisel through the cracks in the Kaisel upon Klal Yisrael. And Chazal used this very same Joshua to teach us about Birchos Kehanim. The Kohanim, they stand in one wall, they all stand lined up, and they put up their hands like this, and they make windows. Okay, the big spaces are the windows, the little spaces are the cracks, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Oymed Achar Kosleinu, the Kohanim are all in one big row, Hashem is made Mashkiach Min HaChaloinos, made Sitz Min HaCharakim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending a Shechina through the Kohanim to bless Klal Yisrael, the Brochus V'Ani Avorechem. Obviously, if these are the only two Mamori Chazal in this pasuk, there is a connection between the two. And the connection is that just like Hashem has guaranteed us that the Shechina has never departed from the Kosel HaMaravi, there's an indication from the connection is that the Barucha of the Birchos Kehanim is always active. It's always there. You know, you go to a Rebbe, you go to Rosh Shiva, you go to Talmud Chacham, yes, for a Barucha. No, you go as a friend for a Barucha, does it work? We don't know. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. Do they have enough zechusim to give us the bracha? Are we roy to receive the bracha? But the birchas koyhanim, Hashem says, "Va'ani avorechem." For somewhere shmi al bnei Yisrael, va'ani avorechem, I'll be maskim. Different perushim and Rashi, what this means. But the simplest perush is the koyhanim give a bracha. It's muftach. I'm maskim to the bracha. I will channel the bracha for myself to the Kohanim, to the Klal Yisrael. It's going to happen. If this same pasuk is the pasuk which Chazal tell us that lezaza shechina mikosel maravi, it's telling us also that from all the brachas in Klal Yisrael, you can be guaranteed that birchos Kohanim is never bottled. It's functional, it's there, it's eternal. The bracha is always guaranteed. And this is the introduction to the Chanukas HaMishkan. The Mishkan, what do we have? We start by He B'yom Kalos Moshe. The He B'yom Kalos Moshe is the pasuk that follows Birchos Kohanim. This Samu Eshmi Al B'nei Yisrael B'nei Avorchen. As if to say, well, now, what are the Nesim doing? Well, they're just not bringing Korbanos. Thank you, Hashem. The Korbanos that the Nesim are bringing is the sanctity that they are injecting into the Mishkan. They're injecting Kedusha into the Mishkan through their Korbanos. The first Kedusha that's being injected into the Mishkan is Birchos Kohanim. Birchos Kohanim, the Kohanim, they serve in the Mishkan. They're the ones who are operating the Mishkan. They are going to give their bracha when you come to do the Avod in the Beis HaMikdash. This Kedusha is eternal. It is forever. And therefore, because this Kedusha is eternal, that's why it is the first, it is the beginning of the inauguration of the Mishkan. Because when you inaugurate something, you have to give it the real deal, the Kedusha. Maybe the Kedusha of the Nesim was not as eternal as the Kedusha of Birchos Kehanim. But the Birchos Kehanim starts off the Chanukah Sam Mishkan, and being that we know from this pasuk that the Shechina will never depart from the Kosel Mizrahi, so too the Birchah of the Kehanim will never depart. The male, when you come to the Kosel, you come to the Beis HaMikdash, when the Kehanim give a bracha, we can be have a munah that bracha is direct from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and will always be in the Niskayim. Have a wonderful Shabbos.